This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
You might remember them from their massive hits like Trust Me, Do You Want to Be, and Love Don't
Only
Live
Here
Anymore.
Only old people like you will remember.
I remember them.
I wasn't there.
I can't believe it's been 30 years since we heard from the band. I'm talking, well, the band is about to play their first shows in more than three decades. Kate Sobrano and Zan Abiratne, good morning.
Good morning. Yay!
Hello. We've been cryogenically sealed and released back into the world. Can I just say, though, we just started rehearsals this last week, and it's a fresh sound.
Oh, good.
It's amazing what 30 years can do. Like, you can go into a space after 30 years and really regret certain things you'd done sonically. But because I'm talking, we're at the height of digital and sampling and looping, and they were really trying to do something really distinctly different, and it's still so distinctly different. I reckon it holds... I don't know. I think people are going to be really surprised how funky it is.
And so, because we were dancing around the studio before listening to your tracks.
Oh, it's cute as custard, isn't it?
I mean, amazing. It just sounds so refreshing for us, even after all this time. And when we went into rehearsal, we couldn't believe.
Yeah.
Like, we were, oh my God, it just sounds fresh even now.
Oh, it's unreal.
To us, it did anyway.
But I'm still going to argue about 30 years, because you girls are not looking a day over 19.
Wow.
I mean, look at you. You know,
like,
black on black and beige on beige. That's what Marsha says.
You were frozen.
We were frozen. We've been on ice. Yeah.
You're in half of Melbourne. I mean, that's okay.
Indeed. and it's amazing what a half a tonne of Mac will do.
I went through my record collection and I bought the original. Oh my God, look, you haven't aged a day. Yeah, but you know what? I remember this day buying this album, and it was they saying that you were like 50. When you auditioned. And here I was, you know, well, I'm looking for Dick down the back of Oxford Street.
Yeah,
and you're out there ruling the world. And I remember thinking, you lazy shit, get up and do something with your life. You know?
Actually, I think I saved a few of your friends actually down the back end of that. No, truly, I remember one time in a Tarago, we drove past and something was happening, and a young boy was being attacked, and we just drove past with the door open and pulled him into the Tarago.
Wow.
And sped off and saved this young boy. These were the days back when it was a much, I mean, I don't know, I wonder if it's still the same, but back then it was like a hairy, scary, canary kind of Australian at its most feral worst.
So you were known for performing live. You had Charles and Di on the Rock and the Royals concert in Melbourne. I think that was with In Excess. Oz for Africa concert as part of the Live Aid. This seems so long ago now. And the Australian Made concert in 87 with In Excess, the Models and the Divinals. How did this success feel being so young at the time?
Well, I guess when the band started, you were just doing your thing, and then before you know it, you're getting asked to do these shows. So it just feels like a natural progression when you're on that role, if you like. Mm. So
we were a bit smug about it, actually. Well, we'd gone from, I think Zan, Shireen and I had been in a Melbourne band, Grand Wazoo, when we were teenagers. Mm. And it was sort of a bit of a shoe-in. We were just doing so many gigs so often that to anyone watching, you were there, you were picker's choice. It was like, grab those girls, put them in a band. Yeah. Big Pig came about.
Oh, I remember that one. It's a hungry chance where people... And that was your sister.
Yeah, that's my actual twin.
Oh, your actual twin. Yes. Oh, there we go. Yeah.
But just to follow on, so basically it just kind of was something that just happened and we just went with the flow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just... You enjoy it, of course. You know.
Yeah. We were one of the only dance bands in the country.
There wasn't much going around because then it was all
nothing.
Rock.
There was nothing.
It was Barnsley.
There weren't even DJs.
And,
you know,
yeah.
No, we were not... They were not even like... You could go to a gay club, but you couldn't go to any ordinary club. They would only be playing Australian Oz rock, as a rule, you know. So when we were lifted out of vinyl and into a live setting, it was kind of arduous for the band. I mean, we kind of wore out our drummer. He was like trying to play, and we were the first one to be playing with syncs, like In Excess maybe later, but Cameron, his fingers would be bleeding in an effort to just keep up with the volume and the weight of live music, yeah.
Because now it'd all be fake. Well, not fake, but computers, wouldn't it? Like, you know, I mean,
he was playing with an in-ear that wasn't like... These days, technology's increased. You have monitors, you've got, like, special audio earphones that you can hear a click track playing, and it all just makes it seem so much easier. You can make it look easier, but it was like hard grift back then. It was like sweat and... But,
and you did stand out as sort of like a funky band at the time. I remember hearing you on the radio.
And the outfits. When are we going to go there? What about the futuristic sailor suit from Trust Me?
Yeah, but you don't understand. Melbourne hosts some of the most original... fashionistas, and started from the 80s, Martin Grant, Christopher Graff. Yeah. Okay, have you ever seen his scarves these days? That's pretty much
so
what he
made
does.
The outfit I wore in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The stars.
Oh, the stars with the tassels.
Yep.
I want to know where we... I want that still.
I still have it. Yes.
Well, can I borrow it? Because I'm looking for something for the Kylie concert next week, and it is golden, and I like the tassels. If you don't mind borrowing it.
And then one of your film clips, you had like a Spanish dress on, and you were spinning around. That's right, the flamingos.
Oh, lead the way.
Lead the way. That's right.
Yes. I know.
So we're going into fashion. Well, I was looking at the film clip and you were on there, Trust Me, and you had the lovely lapel.
Oh, yeah, Christopher Graff. Okay, so similar. He was like, to me, it's like, do you remember watching Blade Runner for the first time? When I saw the styling in Blade Runner, Christopher Graff was doing that 40s sharp suits, the big, you know, Mummy Dearest kind of vibe.
Oh, yes.
And I really related to that. I loved that cinematic thing. So we would go and follow up with these artists and they would style for us. You know, outfits.
Well, I loved it. And look, you were on the roof and you were spinning around. I thought any minute now we're going to have like a Sally Fields moment.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be like wings and take you off, you know. Like.
Wouldn't that have been unreal? Or just explode. That would have been fun.
So everyone, get out there on YouTube and check it
have
out.
Have a look
it's
at
it. It's fantastic. Yeah. The fashion. God, we looked horrible. But I thought I looked lovely. I just get
around. It's amazing. Go down the street today and that's everything that everyone's wearing
correct.
Out there.
Exactly.
Now. I know.
And we haven't changed the size in all those years. I can still fit right into it now too.
When you look back at your time with I'm Talking, and Kate, you were 15, as we mentioned earlier, when you auditioned. What impact did it have on the rest of your life after the band had disbanded?
Well, for me, I waffled around for a bit and then I took off to New York. I mean, I found the experience in New York very sort of satisfying because the standard of musicianship there is very, very high. So it gave me an opportunity to go back and I studied singing and I actually tried to get better as a vocalist. You can never get good enough. I think there's always something to learn. So I did a lot of that in New York and, yeah, I just had a fun time there. I had my own band there and things
but
like that.
But also, Zan, you've also gone to London and you went and hooked in with this incredible community of musicians and married a great bass player from a very famous band from London.
I did a few different things.
I signed with Amber Records, which was out of Germany, things like that, and toured around Germany.
Was there a rumour there was one moment that you guys were going to end up under the Stockgate and Waterman? Was that a rumour or was that...
It was all very tricky and... I think mainly Stockacre and Waterman have always been a valuable asset to any artist because, let's face it, you got touched by the sort of Stockacre and Waterman wand and that was it.
Dead or Alive, Bananarama, Kylie. I mean, we just keep going.
Yeah, they actually did a remix.
But you were a big band, so they have taken on a seven-member band?
That's a little bit of a thing with us because when we got signed to London Records, that was a big thing that they took us all across there to tour and everything like that. And I don't think it's easy for a record company to get their heads around marketing a big band like that, to be honest.
I truly think that we were, you know, this far away from actually being Mel and Kim because they wanted to extract us from the band and it was a sort of a defiant thing that we'd sort of said, no, we won't be doing that because, you know, we're part of an ensemble, which you'd think years later you do sort of go, oh, my God, can you imagine if, you know.
What would have happened?
Yeah. What could have happened? Yeah. But we might have actually happened and fizzled out too fast and never been who we've become. So
it's the unknown.
The unknown. No regrets.
So your first single, Trust Me, reached number 10 in 1984 and then you had two top 30 hits the next year with Lead the Way, Love Don't Live Here Anymore. What a great one. Then in 1986 you had a top 10 hits of Do You Want to Be and Holy Word. Yeah. We love it. We've been singing that all day.
Is that unreal?
So look, you guys were on, you were leading the world, I'm going to say.
We had bidding wars here. We had people flying in from New York. We had people flying in from London. I think the expense and the kind of just the sort of the aspects that we all had to engage with agreements together mutually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? Quite easy these days. Now, if you get a singular DJ and you're promoting him and her and he goes, like, say, David Guetta goes and gets a variety of other artists, has them feature in on their tracks, quite a different scene. But we were the first original dance band, came from a very experimental funk punk culture and very Melbourne
Yep.
And we couldn't have been bought apart for love or money. You couldn't have paid. We weren't being paid.
I don't think we were doing it for love.
We were doing it for love.
So Love Don't Live Here Anymore, it was originally recorded by Rose Royce, I think 1978. And you hear covers being made. They never quite replace the original. But for many of us, this is the exception. It's the first version of that song that we've heard. And, you know, it's lasted that long. You wrote most of your music, didn't you? So this was the one exception. Did you expect the cover to do so well?
Well, Kate did a fantastic job on that, obviously. But
Zan and I, can I just say, from when I look at us back then and I even see us today, we're passionate people, like singing live. We put everything into it and we would sweat each and every night. There was never any ounce of us that was withheld or held back.
But whether you've been on stage or whether you always do.
We always do. It's like it's a full-on chest to the wall, like come here, you know, like this is it. This is happening in this time. I think what it was with Love Don't Live Here Anymore for the first of Australian audiences was to hear the sound of Studio 54, that sort of when you were lost in a moment, right? And you're lost in that moment, yet you're in a live band. These singers are looking at, you know, you've got colour on stage, which, let's face it, 30 years ago, still colour was quite marginalised. We were women of colour and we're only half colour, right? And we were hot and sweaty in commitment. You know, it was commitment 100%.
Well, the live scene then, it was, as you say, very rock orientated, and we came up with this dance act that then had to translate in a live situation. And because we grew up in that era, you were expected to be able to cut it live. It wasn't like you could just go and wing it somewhere. No. And so we grew up in that scene, so it was very much part of who we were.
I remember sneaking
into
the Tivoli in Sydney.
Oh, God, that was a great gig.
Do you remember? I remember sneaking into the Tivoli. I was underage, and that was the days where we used to have to go up and down with the paper or licence so we could all get in. But that's what, I was a Sydney boy, sorry. I only came to Melbourne like 15 years ago.
Do you know what? But Sydney was a great space for us because we did the last of what was the Paddington Town Hall New Year's.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was.
And remember those times? They were like wild because they were, you know, they were off the tap. There was nobody, there was security, there was nothing. Went forever and it went, you know, a long party.
Because no one came near us. In those days, we're in this bubble and we lived in this bubble. But look, we're here to talk about this wonderful album.
Yes.
So your one and only studio album in 1987 was Bear Witness and has just been remastered and reissued. So what's prompted this?
Rob Goodge,
the guitarist, basically managed to get a hold of the original master tapes and he basically constructed the new situation here, which is remastered and some bonus tracks.
Maybe I'll have to get it then because, you know, I'm still really...
Yeah, definitely.
I still get, like, Billie Holiday albums play it. And it's when I hear that crackle and the sound. And
I often don't like the remastered albums, I know, but...
And I get so purist.
Yeah,
I hear things and I see things. And I go, all right, Thomas, accept change. But I get so like,
do you know what
this
you'll
is
love?
The album and I'll never love anything else.
Thomas, do you know what you'll love about this? Okay, so this is like the electronic sounds on crack. So instead of them being like, you know, monodynamic, it's gone and it's just expanded and will, you know.
But let's not forget the bonus tracks.
I was going to say,
oh, look at you. She's going to throw in a kitchen knife soon.
Get in here.
Was it hard finding the original tapes? Were they in good condition or had they gone
missing? Rob, that's a conversation. You should bring him in here one day to talk about it because he's and I say this with love in my heart, but he's like he is the computer geek. He's a profoundly,
a technophobe.
Yeah, and actually, when we were in the studio, we were the first album in the country to be being assessed for the digital recording. It was going and being sent back to England how is the desk working? What things need to be changed? Are you discovering any problems that we need to kind of flag with the record? Like these were things that were just being made at the time and with and for us. It was pretty.
And your kids?
Well, I was just a brainless plup. But they, in fact, Holy Word, one of the greatest songs of the band, in my opinion, and you do it beautifully. But Rob said to me the other day, "Yeah, well, we gave it to you because you didn't show up." Well, you were naughty. You were at party.
I mean, we've talked about here. You joined at the hip, and look at you two there. You're loving together, and it's all loving. But there had to be some rivalry. I mean, let's be honest. You must have got the hairspray and sprue it in a face a little bit, hoping that it'll get on the vocal cord, so the bitch wasn't going to get out and sing.
Pull the lead out of the mic. Yeah, like,
you know what? She's always been the nicest, most gentle, you know.
Thank you. You've
never, ever been in any way. I'd say if I was going to take full responsibility, I was the most ambitious. I was the aggressor. I wasn't so comfortable about sharing. I didn't want to be chic. I didn't want to be chic.
Right.
Never
set out.
There's
nothing wrong with that.
No, I wanted to be Donna Summer, and, you know, there was no one sharing the stage or the mic with her, you know. However, because of her grace and her character, it makes something like this possible. It's where great. After 30 years.
Correct.
Oh, isn't she nice?
That is lovely. It's true. And you can see the love. Yeah. I mean, it's lovely. Welcome to joy. But now let's get to the good question. The one everyone out here in the country wants me to ask. Do we getting another album? Are we getting... Look,
or even another single.
Are we know you're going out on tour with other people, but are we going to get I'm Talking Only tour? Are we going to have a new album, a new song?
Well, basically, we've just, as you know, relaunched the album and we're just about to embark on a few dates. And I think we're just taking it a step at a time, playing it by ear. And I think that the natural progression could lead to that.
So you're not ruling it out?
No, I reckon that to a new generation anyway, it's all new because it's original. Yeah. So unlike bands today releasing, 10 covers done in their style, this will feel new to everyone who didn't know who we were. My daughter didn't. That wasn't available. My husband never saw me in this band.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, he had the Cass single and thought we were...
I had the Cass single.
Yeah, yes, you
the Cass single I'm talking.
Yeah, so, I mean, for a while...
because you can't carry records. They're too big for you. you need little things like that. He's little.
Yeah. Oh, I had a little portable
I'm big and tall and I can carry... You need the little Cass single.
Oh, Cass single.
Oh, my God.
So we're not ruling it out.
I reckon it's like, well... I don't know if Rob, if everyone knows this about Rob, but Rob is the guy who did the Treaty mix and brought that to the fore. You know, and so culturally he not only gave that a lot of energy, but he also gave it a sound. I wouldn't be surprised if he surprises us and says, look, I've got this other interesting sort of song you might be, you know.
I mean, what a great song.
Exactly. Yeah. The band will be performing for the first time in over 30 years with Brian Ferry as part of the 2019 season of A Day on the Green. How awesome. Remember Avalon and More Than
Love
This?
Is a
and,
drug.
Oh,
but also the drug. Models.
Jealous guy.
Oh, the models,
And you guys used to back for them sometimes.
We did. Out of mind, out of sight, Barbados.
So you're
going
to be jumping from ones like... one group to the other, or they'd be throwing you out the back for models too.
Well,
it did cross my mind. I did hop up with them recently, actually, and Sean would probably just love that. And what a great tribute to James as well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And who's the other band? I never got into them. I didn't even know they were real.
Oh.
Yeah. Died Pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very...
And I'm going through going, oh, my God, they were there. So that just shows you I was not in that scene at all. Do you know what I mean? Like, models, I must have seen you guys.
Can I just say, though, back then, though, there was no scene. Everyone, it was music was to whomever they were into. Like, today we're defined by who we like, which I think is kind of very savage and sort of limiting.
Okay, you're right. Yeah.
You know, but in the 80s, you could love everyone from...
Well, Joy Division.
Joy Division, exactly.
And that's what, exactly. Pet Shop Boys, Joy Division. Exactly. Then I wanted the models, and I was into Australian
I felt
know,
that
pop,
made for
you know,
a very complex personality and one that I reckon was freer to roam.
Yeah.
Then I think sometimes we're down narrow lanes now, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And now it's just the music is just so so auto-tuned.
Oh, what a noise. That's great.
But what?
I just every time he's going to pick up. Kylie's got a new album out, sweetheart. We're doing all right
but she's
today.
Do you know what? Can I just say this though? And reverse. She's just made an extraordinary like division away from her pop culture.
Oh, country.
But because she and I will put it to this is that she is of a Melbourne girl based in the 80s and allows herself the opportunity to do that. So that's a freedom she has, I think, because she was raised here.
During that time. And you're right, because she was out seeing the same band as we were at the same time. We were listening to the same music.
Heart was open.
Mm. Oh, I'm so excited. Look, to have you guys here has just been a dream come true. It really has. It's just... I've been running around like a girl all day, haven't I?
He's going to break out in song in a minute.
Do you know what? I usually do, but I'm really bad at singing. I'm really bad.
If you want to catch I'm Talking for the first time in over 30 years, you can catch them along with Brian Ferry from Roxy Music at A Day on the Green, Saturday, February 23. It's at Rockford Wines in the Yarra Valley. Tickets are on sale now. You can head to ticketmaster.com.au. Also, the totally remastered I'm Talking album, Bear Witness, is available for download now. Kate Sobrano and Zan Abiratney, thanks so much for coming on to Breakfast this morning at Joy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So in 1990, I had a baby. I had three children. So I have three lovely kids. Oh. And I was 23 and a single parent. I had to raise them on my own. But that's not another story. And my baby was born in 12th of January 1990. And as a gay boy living there that was trapped into marriage. But anyway, no, long story. I'm sitting there and this baby was sitting in my hand, and I never held a baby. And your song Brave was playing in the nurse's station. Now, I'm not going to cry again because I actually cried. You know, there's moments and there's songs, and I'm going to say that those words in that song touched me, and it still makes me tingle, and I knew that my life had changed and that I had to be brave if I was going to bring up. Now, I'm going to say my daughter's 30 and she's now a medical scientist. She's a doctor. They're gorgeous. My youngest daughter's 26 and she's drop dead gorgeous living in Byron, but I did a very good job as a parent. I want to say thank you. And that song touched me, and it's just what you know, the baby gets, and the nurse's station was playing, and I'm not white again.
I feel like in this life, one of the greatest gifts I've ever been offered is to be the soundtrack to people's very special experiences. Great. And that was one of them. I mean, you know, many a young boy has come out to bedroom eyes too, I might just tell you. And
have you met my husband? He has the bluest eyes. Oh, really? He's gorgeous.
There you go. But nothing finer to me than, see, I think Brave, even as a young girl, there was a lot about my life that I was uncertain about. And I spoke, I think, for a lot of people and continue. When every single day you have to get up, you got to dust yourself off and kind of make yourself a bigger, better person than you think you are.
Well, and in this world in Melbourne, I mean, you've come
here.
Straight through the front, and we've got to see what. And we do have to be brave.
You've got to be brave. Yeah. But oh my God, I'm so happy to be part of your life that way.
No, thank you.
Amazing. Yeah.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.